You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I am the aforementioned Brian Noonan. Glad to have you here. We look forward to talking to you today. So jump in at your leisure. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Another big news day as we prep for the what is sure to be an unbelievable State of the Union address tonight. We've got a lot to get to.
I'm proud of your optimism. Look at you on a Tuesday morning.
My tongue is firmly in cheek. I'm surprised I can enunciate words that way. But we endeavor to go on. Once again, hail Britannia and their justice system, because the dominoes are starting to fall in other countries regarding the Epstein files. Of course, you remember former Prince Andrew was arrested the other day. Now, he's out, but he hasn't been cleared of anything. He's just like out. They investigated him not for alleged pedophilia or child abuse or anything like that. No, they invested him for sharing documents while with Epstein while he was in office. Well, now police have arrested former UK ambassador to the US, Peter Mandelson, on suspicion of misconduct in public office tied to the Jeffrey Epstein investigation, which is the same charge that Andrew was arrested under, misconduct in public office. So other countries taking this very seriously, and other countries are, especially the UK, is already gloating a little bit. Listen, once we have to subpoena all the records for these cases, everything's coming out.
Yes. And I think if you are somebody who's been following this closely, if you've wanted some of, you know, the people mentioned in the Epstein files to face some sort of consequence, I think it's best that you put your sights on the UK in Europe, because we've talked about it on this program before. They are taking these allegations much more seriously than obviously our current DOJ is in the United States. And I think you're going to see the most fallout there. In fact, with Mandelson, there's actually photos of him in the White House, in the Oval Office with President Trump. So the ties are a little closer than maybe the former Prince Andrew on this one. And police actually searched two of his properties before they took him in for questioning. He has denied, of course, any wrongdoing. And authorities say the arrest is not related to sex offense charges. Documents also show that Mandelson referred to Epstein as my best pal years earlier and also allegedly received payments totaling $75,000, which he says he does not recall and has questioned the authenticity of. His arrest comes less than a week after the former Prince Andrew. Now, in the United States, we're also starting to see a few ripple effects, right? There's a celebrity doctor. He's also a best-selling author. His name is Peter Attia. And
I had not heard of him until last night when I was watching the news, but he's an aging doctor, anti-aging specialist, allegedly.
Yeah, and he's now stepped down as a CBS News contributor after email showed that he exchanged messages and jokes with Epstein in the 2010s. Now, Attia has not been accused of any crime. He says his contact with Epstein had nothing to do with abuse and that he was never on Epstein's plane or on the infamous island. He did apologize for what he called embarrassing and tasteless emails. I also think it's interesting because Hollywood mogul Casey Wasserman, who, you know, owns some talent agencies, he is on the 2028 Olympic committee, you know, because the Olympics are going to be in L.A. Right. He is being asked to step down from that
role. I was going to say, I know he sold his talent agency. There was question about that. It would be wise of him to step down. Now, see, here's the thing for a lot of these guys, and I, you know, innocent until proven guilty, I get it. You could make an argument if you travel in social circles in New York that you had met Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
There's probably at a party you might have been introduced to him, you say hello. Once you start, like, you meet a lot of people, Jamie. I meet a lot of people. Parker met one person sometimes a while ago.
It was Frank,
Yeah, you met Frank. Now you don't email Frank all the time with tasteless jokes. Everybody you meet, you don't all of a sudden start exchanging emails with. That's when That's when your story doesn't hold water. Well, I only met him once. Yeah, but we have all these emails. So you obviously struck up some sort of relationship, whether it's, and relationship may be a strong word, but that's the best one to describe when two people are in contact with each other. So, with this Atiya and everybody else, it's, and some are easier, like Wasserman's emails to Ghislaine Maxwell. It's very easy to say, all right, this is not just a casual meeting.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and
when you want to see somebody in a leather outfit. Now, I've met a lot of women in my time. I'm friendly with people. I don't usually. Well,
have you ever started
usually,
that
no,
way?
Never.
Okay. All right.
No.
All
and
right.
I've never really even ended that way. I never, you know, I don't.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I don't send those types of emails or texts.
I mean, I think,
I whisper them into their ears so nobody else can hear and there's no witness.
I think,
but Jamie, that's another story.
I think the fallout that we're seeing in the UK, in the media, in politics, it's a very good thing. And if powerful people did have these inappropriate relationships, because remember, at this point, these are alleged crimes, right?
Yes.
If they shared sensitive information, if they were enabled any of this wrongdoing, they deserve whatever consequences come their way. And accountability shouldn't depend on the status. It shouldn't depend on their title or their connections. And let's be honest, I think if you're sitting here in the United States and you're watching what's happening in the UK between the former prince and now Mandelson, you're kind of wishing some of that fallout was happening here in the United States, too, because.
But what's the big difference?
Well, the big difference is the DOJ and who is running our current DOJ. But I guess the argument goes back to, for some people, the Biden administration also sat on these files for a really long time, you know? And here's the thing. We can parse out who these files have been under, whose DOJ was involved. If there's wrongdoing, there's wrongdoing. If crimes were committed, crimes were committed, and those people need to be prosecuted. I also think it's interesting that, as we mentioned, the State of the Union address tonight, several House Democrats will be bringing Epstein survivors as guests to the president's address. And lawmakers, including Ro Khanna, Jamie Raskin, Robert Garcia, say that the goal is to push for transparency and full accountability in the handling of the Epstein files. Some Democrats are planning to attend the speech. Others will participate in what they're calling an alternative People's State of the Union address. I'm not exactly sure what that entails yet. You look at Representative Massey. He will be bringing his wife to tonight's State of the Union, which I think is interesting because President Trump has basically called her out specifically on social media and threatened Thomas Massey's wife. So he'll be bringing her as a guest tonight. So this
I hope
is
she stands up and goes, I'm right here. All this between us is air and opportunity. And I just sucked up all the air, Mr. President. Let's go.
I think it's going to be a fascinating event tonight when we talk about the State of the Union. And I understand what Democrats are trying to do by bringing some of these victims. They're highlighting them. They're making a moral statement and they're saying that the story isn't going away. But here's my question when I actually sat down and thought about this. Does it move the needle in any sort of way? Because this president has shown time and again that public pressure is not going to shame him. It's not going to rattle him. And I'm not sure that it's going to rattle a lot of the Republicans who are going to be standing there with him.
I disagree with part of that.
Okay.
I think it does rattle him, which is why then he goes into bigger and more varied deflections. So I think he gets rattled. I don't think he... It's like the old commercial, never let him see you sweat. I think he believes that we don't see him panicking, but we do because of his actions. And going back to something you said about the with the Justice Department and the Biden administration, they did convict Epstein and Maxwell during that. Now, if there was an attempt to cover those documents during Biden's administration, that needs to be looked into too. But Biden didn't campaign on one of his main platforms being that they're going to release all the files, people are coming to justice. Well, that's fine until your name starts popping up thousands of times. And he sues everybody, Donald Trump, for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Being called a pedophile is a really serious thing.
Yep. I know where you're going with this one.
Right. You haven't sued anybody for that?
Yeah.
That's like, that would be probably the first thing and only thing if somebody started publicly saying that about me, oh man, I'd have all my money invested in attorneys trying to get that straightened out. If you're innocent, you fight that. And I know defense, if you're a defense attorney and you're listening, I know a lot of times defense attorneys go, no, you don't want to, you don't want to put your client on the stand. You don't want them to have to testify. You don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. In some cases, silence speaks volumes.
I think it's going to be fascinating to watch this play out, especially if the UK is about making some sort of prosecution. And I mean, we've talked about this on this program before. I don't know if most of the, if any prosecutions come even in the UK, I don't believe it's going to be tied to what's in the Epstein files. It's going to be other crimes that tie them and at least land them in prison or some sort of, there's going to be some sort of prosecution involved, but it's probably not going to be tied directly to the files, right?
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a big headline-making crime. It can be something boring. It's sharing documents is a boring crime,
right.
But it has teeth, and it'll get you. It'll get you time. So, okay, if that's what they get you on, boom.
Yeah. And I mean, at any point, I'm sure the survivors would love to see people be prosecuted for the crimes, the alleged crimes in the Epstein files. And I totally understand that. But at some point, if they are in the files thousands of times, I just want to see them in jail for something, right? John in Oshkosh, listening on WISS this morning, chimes in on the text line saying that the Dems have to keep this in the forefront until those responsible are held to justice. Release the Trump Epstein files. Thank you for the comment this morning. If you want to chime in on any of the conversation, because let's be honest, we have great conversation here. 1-855-752-4842. That number is 1-855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And, you know, when it comes to, I don't know if anybody has handled these files properly, right? Between all of the administrations who have been involved, and you are absolutely right. At least the Biden administration was able to prosecute Epstein and also Ghislaine Maxwell. But I don't believe any of the presidential administrations have handled these files well. It's almost like, you know, there's stuff in them that they don't want people to see. And that's what it feels like, right?
It does feel that way. And I'm tired of the justification of, well, if these are all released, it could crumble the government.
Crumble this.
Good. Let's go. Because quite frankly, it's not in the strongest state anyway right now. And, you know, Republicans will always say, well, what if so-and-so's it? I don't care who's in the file. And you shouldn't care either. And I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. I don't care who you voted for. None of that should matter. What should matter is you have all these young women telling you that they were victims.
Mm-hmm.
Case after case after case has proven that women don't lie about this. The amount of false testimony in sexual assaults and abuse is minuscule. So the fact that we still, after all this time, won't believe women is unconscionable.
Believe the women.
We have to do better.
Believe the women. It is 6:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Yes, and this is the Civic Media Network. We have, we'll talk about the texture question.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you so much for joining us. 6:22 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Tuesday.
Yes, we're happy to have you here. And as the big voice guy told you, we want you to get involved. And that's how we came to this little segment, because if you're joining us today and you weren't here with us yesterday, really, there's no excuse for that. But Civic Media relaunched the Talk Network.
Yes.
And as you can tell, now we have a fancy new name for the show. Jamie and I are still here. We're the same. Parker's still here. Thank goodness. And Frank's still here. So the crew is the same. The name is different. But the network has changed a little, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the approach of the company to what is on the air has changed, not drastically. And Jamie, I'm so that I don't misspeak, because God knows I am a fan of misspeak. I'll let you explain the little bit of direction before we get to this. Somebody texted us last week, and it made us, Jamie and I were talking about this, and so we decided we would bring it to the air and use it as a kind of explainer for what we're trying to do.
So the foundation that Civic Media was built on was essentially building a stronger democracy, and democracy with a little d, one that all voters, no matter where their part, where your party alliances are, can come together and have open dialogue and conversation. Because we feel here at Civic Media, when that happens, we build a stronger democracy. That's essentially what we do. We also want to talk about the stories in the news, but follow those up with not just a bunch of hyperbole. And sometimes you're going to get that because, you know, we give our opinions too.
Yes.
But a lot of fact-based discussion about what's happening in the news. And that is essentially what we have built Civic Media on. And I know for some of our listeners, it's been a little bit of a different switch because we have talked more of the fact-based instead of just opinion all of the time. But we try to lead a little bit with both. But our opinions are always based in the facts. And we also want to make sure that if our opinions are wrong or we give the wrong information, that we are willing to correct that, because we also feel here at Civic Media that that builds a stronger democracy. But we believe everybody has a vote, no matter what happens when you go to the ballot box. Everybody has a say in how government operates. And that starts at our very local levels all the way up to Washington, D.C. And so that is essentially what we are trying to do here at Civic Media. And we've gone through some changes because, let's be honest, it's expensive to run radio. And it's expensive. So budget has been a concern. And so we've had to peel back a little bit so that we can build back up into what our foundation is. So.
Yeah, and nothing is like, this is not the end. This is not how Civic Media Network will look forever. This is, you know, hopefully Jamie and I are here forever. And you got Pete and Greg from 5 to 7 on Nightlight. And then the other shows in there. But things evolve. And that's why I'm here, because when I talk to everybody at Civic, they're like, well, it's a politics show and a news show. And I was like, okay. I said, but where are we on the far edge of either thing?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we want you to talk about it based in facts, and facts are facts. And yes, then as Jamie said, we get to give our opinion.
Yeah.
And you can argue with my opinion all day long, but really we can't argue with facts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no my facts and your facts and our facts and their facts.
Turns out that facts are kind of fact, right? There's like one fact of how it all should go. And that's what we want to do here at Civic.
Right. So in an effort to do that, we are not screaming and yelling from far ends of either spectrum. We're trying to not be milquetoasty in the middle. You're going to know exactly where we stand.
Because if you think we're conservative, by the way, you haven't been listening close enough.
So we're also trying to bring more people under the tent. And somebody said, love Civic Texter. And they didn't include their name. They're a relatively new Texter. As a former MAGA, I just caution against talking down or elitism. I don't consider myself that. But fact-checking is good. Exposing half-truths is great. Being gentle with us is nice. And listen, I know sometimes you'll hear me do a voice of a character. Those voices are, unfortunately, in my head, and they have to come out. They are not an attack at any individual person. Sometimes, yes, they lump in a group. But if we're honest, humor can be used to point out the silliness, the absurdity, the craziness of a certain group of people. And that doesn't mean, do I think all Republicans think that way? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I'm only speaking for me. My criticisms are mostly for the administration.
Because
who you voted for,
that's
in the past. You're allowed to change your mind, like this texter. Change. It sounds like they're changing their mind about that. That's fine. So I'm not criticizing people. I'm criticizing the administration.
Vote isn't about ideology or party strategy. It's about sometimes what people just simply know. It's about the family, the jobs they're in, the churches, their neighbors. It's about wanting stability, safety, opportunity for all of the people they love. And this is where I feel like we always have common ground, no matter how we're voting, because most of us want strong communities. We want good schools. We want safe neighborhoods. We want a fair shot at success. We want to be able to pay for our medicines. Philosophically, we might land in very different places on how we get there, but it's often the same. The desire to get there is often the same. But we should be willing to fact check, including ourselves. No politician, no party, no media outlet should be above any sort of scrutiny. And if we care about our communities, then that truth really matters. And the facts are always going to matter. So we want to debate the ideas. We want to challenge policies here at Civic Media, but we cannot dismiss or demean the people behind those votes. And that is never our intention. And if we're all serious about moving forward as a country, then that's going to start with respecting most Americans, even the ones that we might disagree with, and, you know, believe that they're just trying to do the right thing at the end of the day. And that's, I think, how we actually ended up in this situation, right?
It's what we hope for anyway. I don't know.
Well,
speaking of a situation, surprise, surprise, a Trump-appointed judge has barred the release of a special document from Jack Smith. We'll talk about that after this. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
6:35 right now. If you're listening in Wausau and WXCO or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tab, or maybe even in La Crosse this morning on WLCX, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
I want you to get involved because I'm wondering from you, when we tell you this story about a judge barring Jack Smith's final report, how do you feel about this? Are you surprised? Is this business as usual? Let us know, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yes, yesterday you may have heard Jack Smith had his final report, had written his final report, and it's been in court for a while. They're trying to figure out what to do with it. Well, this is all about Donald Trump's alleged mishandling of classified records and obstruction of justice at Mar-a-Lago. You remember the pictures, boxes of files in the bathroom, which is where I keep all my important files. All our show materials is right next to my
We also hear it's where he spends a lot of time, so I guess it makes sense if you're going through them piece by piece, right?
Better than his chair in the Oval, but that's neither here nor there. So this file is not going to be released because a U.S. District Judge, Eileen Cannon, who just happens to be a Trump appointee from where, you may ask? Florida. Yes, she threw out the case. She also had thrown out the case that Smith brought against the president. Now she's saying he can't even release the file. What could possibly be in there, Jamie, that again, nobody wants us to see?
Well, if you've followed the career of Eileen Cannon, or you've even followed just this portion of what's been happening with Jack Smith over the last year and a half, 2 years or so, you'll know that she's been very kind to the former president at the time when this case started, and now the current president. Now, she called the unlawful appointment of Jack Smith and the Justice Department determined reason to not disclose this particular report. Now, she'd previously dismissed all the classified documents case in July of 2024, ruling that Jack Smith's appointment was unconstitutional. So we're going way back. We're going into the way back machine for some of this.
Right. So she's blaming Merrick Garland appointing Jack Smith?
Yes.
An independent investigator.
Right.
Which was supposedly the way to go. Let's get an independent eye in here, a guy with a great record. And let him go to work.
That's exactly right. And the Justice Department appealed that decision at the time. Now, in this order that came out yesterday, Cannon said that Smith continued preparing the report after she dismissed the case and used discovery materials that were subject to a protective order, which she says bars public disclosure without court approval. So she's argued that it's not customary for prosecutors to release detailed reports when a case has been dismissed without a finding of guilt. So I feel like at this point she's stretching a little bit to find reasons why she can't move things forward. And if you followed the case going back to 2024, she was also doing that at the time. And
yeah.
But of course, you're in Florida, so things move a little slower, and they like to stall things on behalf of certain individuals. So we never really did get to see any of this come to fruition. Now, Eileen Cannon had already barred the Justice Department from sharing the report with members of Congress earlier this year, saying that it contains extensive evidence that was never made public in court filings. Guess why it was never made public in court filings?
Guess.
Yes, yes, you, Brian. We'll call
that
on you.
That she dismissed the case.
Yes, that.
So we couldn't get it in onto the record. All right. Point for Brian today.
Yes.
I'm feeling cocky. I'm
yes.
feeling good. The whole thing smells like a cover up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. See, this is the opinion part of the program.
Yes.
We're giving you the facts. But my opinion, and I want to hear yours too. We both want to hear your opinion. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It doesn't make sense. What we were able to hear from Jack Smith when he was initially testifying, things seem to point toward wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, if there's nothing there, tell us.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got something to hide, that's when you use all the machinations, all the loopholes. You stay within the law, but you stretch it to its boundaries to make sure that you get the desired results. Some of Trump's co-defendants actually asked for this file to be destroyed.
Yes.
Now, the judge said no, she wasn't going to destroy it. But what's going on? And how do you expect us not to be skeptical and not to question and not to assume when you do nothing to, I know in the legal system, you don't have to prove innocence.
Right.
People, the state or the country has to prove your guilt. But again, common sense, and that's, I know I operate in that area much to my chagrin, but why not prove your innocence?
Right.
Or at least clear your name or erase any suspicion. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, Judge Cannon has shown a clear pattern in this case from the very beginning. In fact, a lot of legal experts said her rulings consistently favored the president. And now, it's interesting.
I'm not an expert. I said it too.
But now, just days after a lot of us were applauding the Supreme Court for upholding the rule of law in the tariff case, we've got Judge Cannon who steps in again, and this time just blocks the public from seeing any of the special counsel's report, which, there's serious questions being raised here. So, you can applaud part of the judicial system and then realize that some of them were put there for a certain reason. Now, before leaving the Justice Department, Jack Smith actually told lawmakers, if you remember, this just happened a few weeks ago in those closed door depositions and then eventually in a public hearing, that his team had gathered what he described as powerful evidence that President Trump willfully retained highly classified documents at Mar-a-Lago and repeatedly tried to obstruct justice. Critics of this particular ruling, including watchdog groups and free speech advocates, say that blocking this report keeps the public from seeing the full factual record of a taxpayer-funded investigation involving this country's national security. And Trump's attorneys are praising the decision, as you can imagine, arguing that Smith's appointment was unconstitutional and that the investigation itself was improperly funded. Well, it was funded through taxpayer dollars. And if we're talking about, improperly funding things, let's not bring up the tariff discussion again. But, if this case has already been...
We will, though.
We will, because it's important. I mean, you
yes,
can't...
No, I'm kidding.
It can't be right if you believe that it's right, and it can't be wrong if you believe that it's wrong. I mean, sometimes there is truth that is in the middle, and this administration likes to skew the facts and the evidence to their benefit. They do it over and over again. Now, the public paid for this investigation. We can't see what's being released. Congress can't see what's in this report. And if you, I don't care how you vote. That is a transparency issue, and this is what matters in this country. When an administration works this hard to keep a report like this from seeing the light of day, I mean, it's fair to ask the question, what are they afraid of us seeing? What are they actually afraid of us seeing if they're working this hard between Eileen Cannon telling us that, basically gaslighting us, saying that, oh, there's no evidence there. It's fine. It's fine.
He shouldn't have written it anyway.
Right. I mean,
that's not a good excuse.
That's gaslighting us. And that leads to serious questions about what they are actually trying to make sure that we aren't seeing as a public, as voters, as Americans, right?
Yep. John in Oshkosh texts in, the whole Trump regime is a cover-up. It's hard not to argue it's hard not to agree with John, so I won't. I will agree with him. I'm not going to argue. I know sometimes it seems very basic. And a lot of I've had this conversation with attorneys for decades. Sometimes when I look at the law, I look at it to my peril from a common sense, everyday guy kind of view, because that's what I am. And I know if I were being accused of all kinds of heinous acts, whether it's obstruction of justice or keeping classified material in a bathroom or trying to rig an election, all these alleged crimes, if I was being accused of those, I would want to fight until my last breath to clear my name. I understand that the political class and the powerful in this country operate under another set of laws than you and I do. That we're all supposed to operate under the same set of laws, but you and I do not operate under the same set of laws. Look at any time someone is excused from their horrible behavior because of who they are or who they know, and think about, would that be extended to me? And no, it wouldn't. So the fact that they are keeping this report under wraps, when Jack Smith had an unimpeachable record leading up to being appointed by Merrick Garland, which nobody said was unconstitutional at the time, people said, oh, this is great. Let's get an independent investigator in here. Let them work outside of the Justice Department, because we were a little dubious about the Justice Department with Merrick Garland and his slow walking things here and all of that. So it was great. Well, the problem with saying getting a special investigator is great is that that person is going to investigate. And if you didn't think that Jack Smith was going to get to the bottom of this, you hadn't been paying attention, because he was going to get to the bottom of this case. And it sounds like he did, from what we were able to glean from his public testimony and what Congress has said, he got to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at the point where you don't want it released. That can tell a logical guy like myself only one thing. And I don't know what it tells you, but it should at least raise red flags.
Scott from Madison, listening on WMDX this morning, texts in, if you think this judge is great now, wait till she gets nominated to the Supreme Court next year. Can't probably argue with a lot of that either.
I was going to say, who's leaving though,
right?
Scott?
1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC, if you want to get involved in the conversation. This is about accountability. And if there is evidence that a sitting or former president tried to interfere with the lawful transfer of power, obstruct justice, all of us deserve to know that information. Transparency is not optional when you are in a democracy, especially when it involves the president of the United States. And yes, that is very Pollyanna of me, but it is how the Constitution works, and it's how our government was set up to work. Now, you brought up Merrick Garland, and I know we're getting close to a break, but there's always been some consternation around Merrick Garland and his role, and there was a lot of people who didn't think he did his job. Do you think he did his job, or do you think he was being slowed and trying to build an airtight case?
See, in my opinion, he slow walked it. It sounds, because here's what I know from all the research I did on Jack Smith when he was brought into this. He's not going to give Merrick Garland a case that has to, his, when he delivered that report, it was locked down. Jack Smith and his team had locked everything down. Merrick Garland decided not to act for whatever reason. And I'm not here to read Merrick Garland's mind, but I don't believe he did his job correctly. I think he slow walked this. I think it was another horrible, reminiscent of James Comey.
Sure.
Right before, a week before the election, that kind of thing. So no, I, There's my long answer to a short question.
I think it was slow walked in the fact that, in my opinion, he was trying to make it so airtight. Because when you go after the king, you have one shot, right? When you go after the king, you have one shot, and that was his one shot. Yeah, there could be no mistakes.
It sounded like they had the one shot loaded. They just didn't pull the trigger.
We'll never know, right? Those Democrats and their ideals. 6:48 right now. You're listening to Daybreak.
Yes, after this, we will turn our attention to Duncan.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6:52. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. And I know you're a coffee drinker, Brian.
I am.
I am not.
Always lots of coffee.
Sometimes I will partake in an iced coffee. But Duncan.
All right, can we? But before, hold on. This is
okay.
No. This is a debate I have with everybody.
Okay.
Iced coffee. God intended coffee to be hot and steamy.
Sure.
I don't get this whole iced coffee thing. I don't understand.
I don't like it. Part of my reason for not drinking coffee is the flavor of coffee. And for some reason, if I can...
So you want a milkshake or chocolate milk.
I only add just a little almond milk to it. But it's something about the bitterness of the coffee for me that I can handle a little bit better when it's iced versus when it's hot.
I think you just need better coffee.
Well, probably, but you know, my husband
Bob's House of Roasters. you get it Aldi. No shade on Aldi. I was there.
I love Aldi.
My husband won't
let me invest in better coffee because I don't drink it enough, right? That's totally legit. Because let's be real, if you're a coffee drinker who makes your coffee at home or you go to your favorite coffee shop, coffee's expensive right now. It is very expensive.
It's a lot cheaper at home than it is.
It is if you go somewhere. And I don't drink it enough for my husband to be like, you deserve the finest. Get something cheap because it sits there for a while is essentially what I get told. So, you know, you do what you got to do.
Sometimes you got to treat yourself.
Plus, I'll be honest, it's a lot easier to put something like a nice spiced rum or a little bourbon into an iced coffee and mix it in there than it is in a hot coffee.
I'm sorry, the country of Ireland would beg to differ.
Okay. All right.
Irish coffee, always hot.
We're going to take our...
Always hot, always whiskey.
We're going to take stands on iced coffee versus hot coffee. And my husband's a hot coffee drinker, I'll be honest.
There you go.
So he's,
I knew I liked him
yeah,
better.
Yeah, yeah, you should.
But you started to say Duncan is going, Duncan needs you to hydrate, but not with water. With 48 ounces of a cold beverage bucket.
It's nearly half gallon. That's nearly half gallon. This is actually kind of crazy. It's called a Duncan Refresher. And this bucket comes with a handle. It comes with a lid. And it comes with an extra long straw, because 48 ounces. And it's currently being tested at fewer than 10 locations, mostly in the Northeast. Well, with the snow, they're not getting those in the next couple of days.
That's where Duncan's
from.
Yes, yeah. I've seen Ben Affleck.
It first popped up on social media before national food outlets picked up on the story. There's some early reports that say prices start around about $9 for iced coffee and about $10 for these refreshers. Unlike regular Dunkin' orders, they appear to be pre-filled and they are not customizable. So you grab whatever's available on the shelf. Now, there's been, as you can imagine, a lot of online reaction on these because,
I can't imagine why.
Well, it's ranged from everything from excitement to complete disbelief, and some fans are begging for a nationwide rollout. Others are joking that the drink is as big as my head on some social media platforms and wondering how it would even fit into a car cup holder. I feel like at that point, if you're doing 48 ounces, you really want this for the morning. And by the way, who needs that much coffee? You're going to need some sort of specialized cup holder for your car, which then adds to the cost of all of this. Now, there are some questions already about this as far as the caffeine levels, which could easily hit triple digits in milligrams for the coffee version.
Here we go. Big caffeine trying to put their boot on our neck. I know the doctors are going to say too much caffeine is bad for you. I say too little caffeine is really bad for me. One, because I'd be snoozing during the show. Two, I would be grumpy. And three, I'd probably fall asleep everywhere.
Yeah,
I love caffeine.
I use it on the days when I'm going on about, you know, 4 hours of sleep, which happens more times than I want to admit. But Duncan hasn't said whether or not this giant bucket will expand beyond its limited test market of the Northeast Corridor right now, but it is definitely getting some attention. I also love that this is not customizable, right? Like you can't can't do any milk swaps. There's no extra
pumps.
Your bucket. There's no foam drama involved, and you can't really have it your way. You just get what's in the bucket and you go on your merry way and you're going to deal with it. And Duncan says, I don't care what you think. Drink your 48 ounces and be happy.
Time to slop the hogs. Just get your bucket. It reminds me of if you've ever been to a truck stop, and I'm not sure if Quick Trip, they had those giant coffee mugs. And you would see it like at first I only saw them at, like I said, at truck stops. And then I would see them at other convenience stores, and they were the big thing like this. Now, Jamie, John and Oshkosh,
I see
texting
this.
In at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, kind of backing my play. He says, Sturgeon Spirits in Oshkosh may or may not have a chocolate liqueur that may go well in hot coffee, hypothetically speaking, of course. That sounds like hypothetically, John. A breakfast of champions.
I like John's hypothetical. Right. I'm always about trying that. I don't know. Hot coffee for me has never been a thing. It just, I can't do it. There's something about the taste of it. I have
Once
to add
I
too start, many things.
I didn't start drinking it till I was 30, and now I can't stop. But going back to this Dunkin' thing, 48, a big barrel is going to be heavy. This is not for the maybe people are using this as their morning workout and hydration all in one. You get two and you're doing curls while you're driving with your knees. But effective.
I feel like a half gallon of coffee is more of a lifestyle choice. It's actually like a commitment, something that you're going to bring to the tailgate the next time the Packers or Brewers are playing, right?
To not even just grab whatever's on the shelf. Okay, I'll take that one.
I mean, can you imagine walking into work with your 48 ounces of coffee? Don't talk to me until I finish my bucket, please.
I can 100%. But then I'm like, I might have to use this bucket for something else.
Right? I got to say, I respect it a little bit. If you're that committed to the 48 ounces, I am going
to
give you all my respect.
Cheers to the hot coffee.
I love it. It is 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. Thank you for joining us this morning.
On the other side, we will a little preview of the State of the Union. Oh, that's going to be fun to listen to. We'll talk about that and so much more on Daybreak here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.